the biggest trait that every employee should have is care. I would rather have you care and have that energy to drive the company forward, to drive the solution forward, to drive the business forward.
And I don't think there's a single substitute for an employee who cares about their team, their job, and the company at large.
Real quick note, my family and I just got back from an incredible cruise with UnCruise. Now, we'd experienced what cruising was like on a big ship with thousands of people, and frankly, it just wasn't for us. But this one was completely different. It was a small boat of less than 100. We had an amazing time where we saw whales and other wildlife, inspiring nature, hiking, kayaking, and bushwhacking, which is hiking without the trails, and we received incredibly personalized service, guides who get you off the beaten path and gorgeous sunsets. Everything was so easy and with no lines. They provided incredible meals, including sustainable seafood, not to mention a list of impressive cocktails. My wife, daughter, and I loved it. When we returned, I asked UnCruise to become a show sponsor, and I was excited when they agreed. Right now, they're offering special deals on cruises in Baja, Mexico, and Alaska that includes the incredible luxury, service, and adventure that we experience. To learn more, go to benleeds.com/cruise. That's benleeds.com/cruise for the latest deals.
Welcome back to Lead the Team with number one best-selling author and in-demand corporate trainer, Ben Fanning. On this podcast, the world's most innovative senior leaders share their top success strategies to motivate your direct reports, cultivate your top leaders, and accelerate your career. Let's get started. Here's Ben.
Hey there, Lead the Team. Welcome back to another great episode. Today, I have for you Raj Mukherjee, who is the CIO over at HIT Promotional Products, where he's steadily risen through the ranks over the last 5 years. If you don't know HIT Promotional Products, well, you should. They've been in business over 50 years, and they're ranked in the top five in their industry with over 3,000 employees and shipping over 4,500 orders per day. Raj has a master's degree from the University of South Florida and is pursuing his executive MBA over at the University of Florida. Raj, welcome to Lead the Team.
Go Gators. Yeah. Thank you, Ben, for that introduction.
Oh, man, you had to get the Gator dig in.
Yep.
So y'all know, if you've listened to the show for a long time, for a while, you know I'm an Alabama guy. So I remember the days of Tim Tebow. And yes, Tim Tebow beat us a few times, but I was at the game where Tim Tebow cried when Bama won. That was a glorious day for us. Thank you, Tim Tebow. Anyway, it's fun. SEC football is a lot of fun. Always good to connect with another SECer. So, Roger, what was your first job and how does it influence your leadership today?
My first job was at a company that doesn't exist anymore, but my first job was at a company called Edge Access. We were doing video visitation, which was essentially if one of your family members went to jail and you wanted to visit them via Skype or via Zoom, you had to install our product. And the product allows you to for detectives to monitor those calls. At the same time, judges would be able to issue their verdict without actually physically being in contact with the inmates through this setup. So it was a lot of fun, fun installing those hardware in those facilities and building the software also. Yeah, it was definitely crazy times.
So what was one of the more memorable moments that you had installing the software in prisons?
I think one of the more memorable moments was, actually there was two. Well, the first one was my first day at work where my first piece of code that I wrote that was in Arduino, and it had to do with networking. And the code that I wrote was not that great, not something to be proud of, but it took down the whole network of our whole company. So it was great. So basically, it was a loop. It was trying to take all the DHCP addresses. So basically, flooded the network and then brought the company down. So
wow,
that was my first day.
Congratulations, first day at work, and you took the company down.
Company down.
So you identified a cyber risk on your first day.
Yeah. Didn't intend to, but yes.
And what was the other one?
The other one was where I think we had a bug in one of the software. This is 2 years in my job. And I think I was told that the sheriff was Pasco County. I was like working at Pasco County, and the sheriff of Pasco County might be looking for you. So that was like very intimidating. Like, hey, like the bug needs to be fixed. All right. So that was fun.
There are probably a lot of sheriffs looking for you guys, hopefully for the right reasons, not the wrong reasons. George, just curious, did the sheriffs, or did they make the buying decisions for the software?
They would. They had a big stake because most of the facilities where you would install, like the sheriffs had a lot of influence. So they did have a say in picking. We were one of the vendors providing that solution. So there was multiple vendors that would want to bid for those RFPs.
You know, people don't think about that. And it's really interesting to kind of hear about those places where people don't think about business and technology kind of coming together. But yeah, what a real true need that you all identified and pursued. So going back into your career, what advice would you give your younger self today, Raj, or maybe something that you'd tell your former, your younger self to try?
I would tell my younger self to take more risks, right? I was very unsure of how great this country is and the opportunities this country presents. So since I was like 20 years of my life, I've spent in India. India is very like competitive and very difficult to rise up the chain. Of course, as America, this is literally the land of opportunity. So if I had one good advice for my younger self, it would be like, take more risks, try to innovate more, and be an entrepreneur as fast as you can, because this country loves entrepreneurs.
Wow. Okay. So is there someone that you admire or that you look up to or that's been a role model in this way for you?
I think I started admiring the entrepreneurial angle while I was doing my second master's at USF. This was back in 2018. And all of my professors had a startup company. So every class, we were being taught data science, but each one of these professors, different topics of data science, but each one had their own company. So it was so exciting, or I think like the light bulb moment happened in my head where I started understanding how tech and business can connect and how you could build product for needs. And that's the very important lesson. It's not just like being a technical person or being able to write software or build applications. It's how you connect that for a need and how you can build a business around it. And I think it's very important to have that mindset, because the more you have that mindset, you'll find a need, the more innovative you'll be. And I think it just helps your career growth perspectives.
Yeah, it's cool. I expected you to say something like Steve Jobs or Elon Musk or some big entrepreneur. And you're like, you know what? It was my own professors. And it wasn't necessarily from an academic standpoint, although you might have looked up to them from a knowledge perspective. But it's the fact that they had like their side hustles or their side businesses,
right,
an entrepreneur. And were they just saying, hey, this is the kind of stuff I'm up to? Or were they actively encouraging to go out and start stuff?
So because we would spend 9 hours every Saturday with them, it was a long time. And so we would be talking about like studies, but then we will also digress into how they built their company and what challenges they face and how they're facing those challenges, how they're solving those challenges. And I think those were very inspiring moments, because you could kind of like envision yourself, like what would you do when you would land in those shoes, and how would you tackle those obstacles.
What's the one trait you wish you could instill in every employee, and why do you think it's important?
I think the biggest trait that every employee should have is care. I think care is a word that is very important around my employees. But if you do not care about the solution or the company that you're working for, I think the solution or what you're building or how you're building it doesn't really matter in a lot of cases. If you think of just earning a paycheck and coasting, I do not like that mentality. I would rather have you care and have that energy to drive the company forward, to drive the solution forward, to drive the business forward. So care is very important. Like, do you care about the company you work at? Do you care about the place you work at, the department you work at, and do you want to make a difference?
Yeah, I love the double click on that with you with care. I'm thinking, is care something? So I asked you the question about is instill it in others? And yes, it makes total sense. Care, instilling in others, that's a great objective. Is it easier to hire for care or to hire someone who cares? And if so, how in the heck do you really know? And then, or is it going about this of we're going to try to instill it and create it as we go along as a team?
I think passion is something I look for in a person. So like in my interviews, I would ask questions like, hey, what was the project that you're the most proud of or like you were the happiest around? And if I see some scripted text coming from your mouth, like I understand, okay, you don't have the passion or the care about the solution you just built or was a part of building. And I think that's one good indicator. But I think when these people, I instill them in our work and our work, like our CEO or our leadership enables you to take these employees, go to the production floor, look at what the production floor looks like, find a solution, and everybody's kind of treated equal. So it's not that the CIO is treated any different than, let's say, the junior developer when you're in the production floor talking, let's say, to the CEO. He would treat you both equally. And then if you have a solution in mind, that solution will be respected. So I think if I try to bring my team into those environments, and if they have the care, they do bring forth solutions or ideas. And I think it just changes them. Once you let a person or empower that person and that person understand the power of getting empowered, I think it changes you. And I think you act or do things different.
Yeah, it's powerful because it's one thing, I like what you said about, hey, you're interviewing for passion. But just because you're interviewing for passion, ultimately, it doesn't mean that they're going to care about the business and doing their job over the long haul. And that's something that you've got to foster, you know, as you go along. And I don't think there's a single substitute for an employee who cares about their team, their job, and the company at large, because then they're going to bring more creative solutions like you're talking about.
Right.
They're going to be more present. They're going to be more engaged, and they're probably not going to quit on you.
Not going to quit on you. And I think like if your employee learns new techniques, learns new topics, and brings that to the table, I think it makes you as a boss better, makes you look better. Don't be scared that, oh, my employee is doing things that I don't understand. I think it's an advantage. I think it's good if you foster an environment where your employees can do that. And it makes you look better to your executives, it makes the team better. So always allowing or encouraging your team to learn more skill sets is the right thing to do.
Are you looking to increase sales, grow your brand, and share your leadership message? Then check out our business podcast program. Each week, more people listen to podcasts that have Netflix accounts, and 1/3 of the U.S. population listens to podcasts regularly. So your customers and team are already listening to podcasts. It should be yours. Discover our 5-step profitable podcast framework and what results you can expect for your company by setting up a 20-minute call with my team at benleads.com/schedule. That's benleads.com/schedule.
So without including names, what's your most colorful story of when someone quit or was fired?
I will not name the name, but there was this one person that quit and told me this person used to work at the Soviet Union and he could do terrible things and if he wanted to. And I was like, well, that is interesting. Did not expect that.
Do terrible things to you or the company or the world?
He did not say where to who, but it was very generic. And it was unexpected conversation for sure.
So it was a subtle message. I used to live behind the Iron Curtain. Not me personally. I'm the person who quit or whatever. Was it a firing or a quitting?
It was a quitting. It was a quitting.
It was a quitting.
It was a quitting, but and then I tried to save the quitting, but it turned out with an awkward random conversation.
He's like, yeah, you don't want me around here. I could do terrible things because I used to live by a KGB. I don't know. It's interesting. Interesting world we live in. Yeah. And not a conversation any leader really wants to have. So when's the time you had an unexpected twist or failure in your career and how did it lead to your growth or success on down the road, Raj?
I mean, I think recently I'm kind of like still like probably like going through that one of those moments where I am trying to upgrade our systems. But what I'm noticing is in a lot of cases, when you have systems that the company has been used to using for a long time, and from an IT strategy standpoint, you're thinking, hey, a newer system means you have more developers to maintain the system, et cetera. You're thinking from a more technical angle. The business is thinking like, I'm used to this older system. And I think when you get into those projects, sometimes it's more difficult than you think. Mm-hmm. Because from a technical angle, you could have done everything correct. Everything could have gone perfectly well. But the business could come in and say, I hate this. And it's how you take those and then twist it, turn it, and culture it to a more positive solution. Mm-hmm. I think that's a more recent story. And I think it's something I'm still like learning to like navigate.
There is always the user experience, right? Whatever. Internal systems, external systems, websites. Yeah, there's always the user experience. And that's the part that's so easy.
Right. You could build like a kick-ass amazing solution and the business need was not met. And it was failed. Or you could build like a simple form on an Excel sheet.
Yeah.
And that could be the best solution. Mm-hmm. That you could have presented. Like it's just very weird how these things work.
Yeah, the best solution still has to be used and implemented. Correct. And if it's too complicated, I mean, we see it all the time where, man, it's the best system. It does what it needs to do. Then you get in there and it's like, it's not quite as intuitive for people.
And, right. Business adoption is very important. And as an executive, it's something that it's very easy to overlook as an IT leader because you're always thinking like, I'm surrounded by my team who gets it. I get it. But you also have to start understanding like, does the business, the layman that's going to use it, do they get it? Do they have any feedback?
Yes.
And sometimes these projects have timelines and you're very technically focused. You also have to have the business focused. I think that was a good lesson for me.
So simple to forget that piece. And oh my gosh, man, I'd like to see the world focus on that a lot more. And I think one of the keys in that too is when you focus on the user experience, people think about it after something's been created, but I'm assuming you're probably a fan of doing it in advance, but even then you don't always have it nailed down.
Right. Anything where you have business buy-in and you build a solution on top of the business buy-in is deemed for success. Any solution that you think is the best and then you try to force it down someone's throat is deemed for failure. I think it's a rule of thumb.
Oh, very good. We love a rule of thumbs on Lead the Team. So that's some good, great advice there. So starting to put a cherry on top of this fun interview. We've never had anybody from the promotional products industry. And when people think about promotional products, they think about stuff for conferences that they're handing out at the booths or something along those lines. Or maybe they're mailing out as gifts. What would surprise people, do you think, to learn about the promotional products industry?
Taylor Swift concerts. You're buying merch for like $80, $100, $200. We as promotional companies are making those products, making those things happen. You go to your Alabama game versus UF Gator game. you buying those merchandising so you'll remember that game forever. That's promotional industry making that happen, right? So you see it everywhere. I mean,
so it's underappreciated industry because you're everywhere at every special event. Correct. The Taylor Swift thing, which, I mean, I didn't go. My daughter was like, why didn't we go? It's all the merch that her friends were wearing that makes her jealous.
Right.
See a
and that those merch are being made by our industry. And if you go join Deloitte and you get this like backpack with Deloitte embroidered on the backpack, that's promotional industry making that happen.
So what about, I mean, you're obviously passionate about it and you've been at it a while. Why are you so fired up about the promotional products industry?
Well, I am fired up for HIT. Like HIT, just like a lot, it's like a family. The CEO, the owners, they make you feel like a family. So I'm always passionate about the company. I always want to do the best for the company. The owners have been really kind and nice to me in my tough times. And that's why I'm passionate. But at the same time, for the industry, I'm excited because I think the industry is having that S-curve movement where they're trying, like starting to understand tech and AI can make this industry better. Like our industry has been a lagger. Like it's not the leader in technology. It's always been like a follower. But I think like slowly the industry is starting to understand that, hey, technology, AI, this is the future. So I see some very interesting times come up. Like in my last 5-6 years back when I would go to the tech events for promo, very different than what I'm seeing now.
So someone into technology, this would be a good field for them to check out because it's being transformed.
Right. If you're in technology, if you are a problem solver, because this industry is very complicated. It's the, like you would think of Amazon and what it takes to fulfill orders, but then think of each order is 500 pieces and each order has something custom to be done to it, right? Because you're printing a logo or something. So there's manufacturing on top of the blank product that's being sourced all over the world. And then you're shipping that out, right? So it's a very complicated industry. The configuration involved in building a product, there's a lot of steps to it. It's not just like, hey, I just want to order that from the shelf where it's pre-printed. Getting a product printed, the artwork that's going to work on the product, there's a lot of steps that goes into it. The pricing modules that suppliers have around distributors and getting systems built around that are not that simple. So complicated industry. If you're a problem solver and you like AI, I think it's a good industry to step in and build something.
On the other end of the spectrum, if you're a company CEO and you need to get promotional items, or you're thinking about it, what's a key success factor in working with a promotional products company like HIT and making sure that you get what you want and make an impact with it?
So we are a business to business. So we normally, like, we are the supplier, we have a distributor in the middle that's probably going to be interacting with the CEO who wants the promotional products. The distributor journey map for customers is a little different than, let's say, a supplier with a distributor journey map. A distributor, you would probably expect very like white glove service, like is working with you, showing different ideas. And those ideas are also probably coming from suppliers as well, that, hey, you're going to a healthcare company trying to show some promo. These products are selling. Here are some ideas. And then you as a CEO look at those ideas. You like it. And then most likely you're trying to build a store. And maybe you're looking at Shopify, WooCommerce, Magento, and all these different technologies, building a store and making sure those orders flow in correctly. And if you're a CEO who likes data back, you may have an ERP and you want that data back. It's very good at technology, so we would make sure that data is written back with your systems.
Very good. It sounds like a great company to work with on the stuff. And I love your China and the systems integration. So awesome. Great, Raj. Thanks for coming on the show today. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Ben.
Would you or your CEO be a good fit for this podcast? If you know a uniquely talented leader who has a story to share and a message to deliver, then we'd love to host them on the show. go to benleeds.com/apply to fill out a quick form where you can let us know a little bit about yourself, and my team will take a look to see if we're a good fit. That's benleeds.com/apply.
Ben Fanning is a number one best-selling author, Inc. magazine columnist, and CEO of the Fanning Group, an international consultancy and corporate training company. To learn how they can help your organization, go to benfanning.com.